See him in a manger laid, sent to earth sin's price to pay. He's my Savior. He's my Savior. See him stand in Pilate's hall. See him take the blame for all. He's my Savior. He's my Savior. He's my Savior because he left his throne for me. He's my Savior because he died in agony. He's my Savior because he rose in victory. And he will always be my Savior. See him wear a crown of thorns. See him mocked and laughed to scorn. He's my Savior. He's my Savior. See him hang in open shame on a cross that bears my name. He's my Savior. He's my Savior. He's my Savior because he left his throne for me. He's my Savior because he died in agony. He's my Savior because he rose in victory. And he will always be my Savior. He's my Savior because he left his throne for me. He's my Savior because he died in agony. He's my Savior because he rose in victory. And he will always be, oh, he will always be. Yes, he will always be my Savior.
Isn't it great to come to church and think about the Savior, right? How can we not thank him for being our Savior? Take your Bibles, please stand to your feet. We're going to be in the book of Matthew this morning. Same passage as last week, actually. I couldn't find a new one this week, so we're going to repeat from last week. Not really, but same passage still, though. Matthew chapter 22, and looking at verse number 34. Matthew 22, and verse number 34. Reading down to verse number 40, Matthew 32, I'm sorry, did I say 32? 22. Correct me if I'm wrong. As you may have known, I'm still working through this cold that somebody gave to me. I still haven't figured out who it is yet, but trying to figure that out. No, I'm just kidding, so please give me patience today if you would. Matthew 22, verse number 34. I'm going to stop saying it so I don't have to try to keep getting it right. The Bible says, and when the Pharisees had heard that he put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Let's pray. We do thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for being our Savior. What a precious gift as you think of that Savior hanging on the cross, dying in agony, but in love. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that does not know Christ as their Savior, never put their faith in Jesus Christ alone, may they trust in you today. Please be with the message today, Lord. Give me strength, give me wisdom, Lord, to preach your word. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we look at this passage today and as we looked at it in the past couple weeks about the subject of love, we looked, first of all, in the book of 1 John, the Bible says how God is love. What a great definition of love. God is love. We don't know love if we don't know God, right? And then we looked at this, that God's love is everlasting. God's love is perfect. God's love is sacrificial. God's love passeth knowledge, the Bible says. God's love, it saves and it keeps. And that the love of God, that God wants to be with you, have a relationship with you, and to be with you for all eternity. Again, remembering this, that God is love. You cannot separate one from the other. God is love. But then number two, we looked at this last week about your love for God. Your love for God. God's love should draw us to love Him. You ever think about the love of God? The love of God that God has for you, and that makes us want to love God in return. The Bible says in 1 John 4, it says we love Him because He first loved us. God in His love on the cross looked down and He said, I love you, and He gave His life for you. How could we not in return say, God, I love you? When you love God, you love His Word. Amen? You love God's Word. The Word of God that God wrote, that God penned, God's everlasting and perfect Word that He gave to you, that God wanted to spend time with you today. Do you love God's Word? Do you have a relationship with God's Word, a desire to grow in the Word of God? And as you grow in the Word of God, you love God's Word. And then you grow to love His commandments. How many of you just love rules? You love being told what to do. You love the commandments. You love the speed limit. And when you see that speed limit, you think, I will obey that law. I will not break it. You're all laughing because we have a sin nature. And our sin nature is when you see a rule, when you see a law, you think, how can I break it? Right? Don't think that your kids are any different than you. How did they learn? It was from us, right? You can try you're being just like your mom right now. You're being just like your dad. You know, we never say this. They're being just like me. It's always somebody else. But when you love God's Word, you love His commandments, right? Because in God's commandments, there are blessings and peace and being in the will of God, knowing that God's Word and God's will is always best. And you love God's commandments. You don't just endure the commandments of God. The Bible says God's commandments are not grievous. God's not trying to make it difficult on you. God wants to bless your life. And you love God more than this world. You love God more than the things of this world. Man, it's a battle, isn't it? This world is constantly trying to steal your affection, your attention, and draw you away from God. But you choose, you love God or you love this world. We see your love for God, then today we're going to look at your love for others. Your love for others. See, when you realize God's love for you, and you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you became a Christian, a child of God. You're not a Christian because you come to church. You're not saved because your parents were Christians and they're going to heaven. You're saved and a Christian because there's a moment in your life where you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, forgive you of your sin. And the Bible says you are born again. You have a new life. You have a new hope. You have a new eternity, a new destination in heaven. You become a child of God. And when you see God's love for you and you reciprocate that love back to God, and then that makes you love others the way that you should as well. You ever have a problem with loving people the way that you're supposed to? Right? and God corrects you, that God challenges you. As we see in these verses, the great commandment, the Bible says, is to love the Lord thy God with some of your heart. Is that what it says? To love God with, what's the next word? All thy heart. And with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind. The first and great commandment. But the second, the Bible says, is like unto it. In verse 39, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You find it interesting, the verbiage that God gives right there? God doesn't say for us to love others as he loves us. That God does give us that challenge in the book of Ephesians for husbands to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. But right here, the Bible says to love others as you love yourself. Isn't that interesting? No one has to tell you how to love yourself better. That's what the world tells you to do. Do what makes you happy. Just be you, right? That's a bunch of garbage, right? That's a bunch of junk. That selfless, selfish society of doing what's best for you and hurt everyone else in the process as long as you are happy, right? As long as you are happy, that's all that matters. Not about your spouse, your children, not about God. Just make you happy. You don't find that in the Bible, just so you know. People, when they do what's right in their own eyes, they go to destruction in the Bible, don't they? So the Bible says to love thy neighbor as thyself. 8 times in the Bible, God gives us this exact same verbiage to love your neighbor as yourself. The book of Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18 is where it starts. It says, thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. To love your neighbor as yourself, I am the Lord. I'm going to try to get ahead of the game and get some water here. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 14, it says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But all the law is summed up into one word and one saying. And as you combine these two together, to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, you can put all the Bible down into these simple 2 commandments that you have right here. On these 2, the Bible says, hang or contain all the law and the prophets, the word of God. In James chapter 2 and verse number 8, it says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. The Bible says the royal law. A royal law is given to you by a king. That royal law, that commandment, that trumps all other laws. We got Trump in there somehow. I'm not sure how we did that. I will say, I'm loving the new presidency, but as I was driving in and seeing the gas prices, I was thinking, help us with that somehow, some way. Gas and eggs, and I'm going to be a happy person, all right? The Bible says this royal law, the law that comes from the king, that you would love your neighbor as thyself, the Bible says, if you do this, you do well. You do well. I think of this and turn to Luke chapter number 10 in your Bibles as we see this commandment to love your neighbor. You say, well, who am I supposed to love? Well, that's a good question. Let's go look at what the Bible says here. Luke chapter number 10, we see a parable here that Jesus Christ gives to us in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 33. No, I need to back up here a little bit. I put the wrong verse numbers on here. Verse number 25, Luke 10, 25, it says, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, what is this with people coming to Jesus, tempting him, thinking they're going to catch Jesus in a fault or catching him mixing his words somehow. It says, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do and thou shalt live. You say, wait, but I didn't think you could have eternal life by doing good works. Can anyone love God with all their heart, all their soul, mind, and strength, their neighbor as yourself, and never mess that up one time? No one can do that. He says, you've answered that right, this do and thou shalt live. You'll have eternal life. But he knew he couldn't keep that. Look here at verse number 29. But he, not only did he tempt Jesus, But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? I can't help but read this passage and think, won't she be my neighbor? That was my childhood, all right? But he said, okay, to love God and to love your neighbor. So supposedly he's saying, I've loved God with all my heart, mind, and strength. I've loved God as much as I should. But God said, you have to love your neighbor as well. And he went, all right, but who's my neighbor? I don't know about you. Are you good at loving certain people and other people? They're harder to love. Some people you can get along with and others are just a little bit harder to get along with. Maybe you're sitting next to them. All right, moving on. And it says, and he said, and who is my neighbor? And he's trying to give himself an out. You realize that our flesh is always trying to excuse us from the commandments of God. We're always trying to get out somehow. Jesus gives him a parable. A parable is an earthly truth or an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, giving us an everyday story to help us teach a spiritual truth. And in verse 30, Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. This man on his journey was robbed, he was stripped, he was beaten and left half dead on the side of the road. He was going to die in his misery and in his wounds. But in looking at verse number 31, it says, And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. You would think, if you're laying on the side of the road and the priest comes by, you think, surely the priest will stop to help me. Surely the priest is going to come in to help bind up my wounds and take me somewhere to help me. It says, but when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. You ever done that? You're driving down the side of the road and someone's got a flat tire and you say, man, I feel bad for them. And you just keep going. Don't act like you're better than the people here in this story, okay? We've been there before. Somebody should help them. Somebody should take, well, God is having you pass by their way. I just say by chance, as the Bible says here. And he saw him and he said, you know what, I'm just going to go on the other side. I'm going to pretend I didn't see him. You ever do that? You're walking through the store, pretend you didn't see somebody. I'm going to pretend I didn't see that and just keep moving along. And then verse number 32, and likewise a Levite. Now another person came his way. It says, and when he was at the place, came and looked on him. He came over to where he was. He looked on him and he passed by on the other side. He came and went, huh? Man, that stinks for you. Man, what a rough day. I'm glad I'm not you. See you later. Maybe they were weak at the sight of blood. Maybe they had no money to give them. They didn't care about them, did they? They didn't love this man as Jesus Christ would love him. But look here, verse number 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. You see the difference? And loving the neighbor, the one that saw it and passed by, and the other that stopped here. And as he journeyed, he came where he was, and when he saw me, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said to him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. So he gives them this parable about the priest, the Levite, the Samaritan. Now he brings it back to this man. In verse number 36, it says, Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Which one of these stopped? The priest? No. The Levite? No. The Samaritan. This man he was speaking to, no doubt, was a Jew, and the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. They wanted nothing to do with the Samaritans. They weren't Gentiles. They were the half-breed. They were a mixed race between the two. The Samaritan person, I assume, is a person this man in the story would despise. The Jews would go out of their way to go around Samaria. They wanted nothing to do with them. But the Samaritan man is the one that stopped. Not the priest, not the Levite, but the Samaritan. So which of these was neighbor unto him? And he had to answer it. And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Now, I don't know about you, but as I think of myself in that story, you ever think more highly of yourself than you actually should? You ever have that problem? I won't have you raise your hands, but I'll put my hand up. You think, oh, I wouldn't do that. You ever, when you're put in that pressure situation, in that situation where you might be in a life-saving situation, and you think, I hope I would act the right way. I'll tell you this. I hope I would act the right way, but I'll be honest. I'm not good with a side of blood, all right? I might be in the wrong profession, all right? So if you ask to show me the gory pictures and tell me the gory stories, if I say, no, thank you, there's a reason for that, okay? I'm asking for God to give me strength every time I do a hospital visit and ask how things are going. But I can imagine being one of those men passing by and thinking, nope, not today. I've got better things to do. I've got my to-do list. I've got stuff to do. And they were too busy to go and help someone laying half dead on the side of the road. This story, as you know, is known as the story of the Good Samaritan, as that is named for different organizations even today, someone that would go out of their way to help another. Again, I don't know about you, but I love certain people and I love a certain way, but do we love the way that God commands us to love? Do we love the way that God commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves? Turn over to Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 43. Matthew chapter 5, please. Again, I love certain people, but there's others that I don't love the way that God would want me to love them. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 43. It says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your," what's the next word? Enemies. Oh, I can love the people that love me, but what about the enemies? It says this, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You're like, wait, time out a second. The enemies, I want nothing to do with them, but God says we're to love them, bless them, pray for them, to do good to them. You say, well, I don't love that way. I don't love the way that God has commanded me to love. It says in verse number 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the good and on the evil and on the good, and sendeth the rain on the just and on the unjust. Look at this. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Again, I can love those that love me, but what are those about those that hate me? What about those that hate you? What about those that hate your country? People that say that they hate Christians, you say, well, if you hate me, I hate you in return. That is not a Christ-like love. You realize that God loves everyone. Remember this, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Not because they loved him in return, but because he chose to love them. Again, we love in a selfish way many times. I love that way that I want to love. I love those that love me in return, but do we have a Christ-like love to love others in that way? What is the Christ-like love that we should have, loving the way that God would have you love them? Number one is this, love is forgiving. Love is forgiving. Isn't it hard to forgive sometimes? Isn't it? The words that were said to you, those stick around for a long time, don't they? The hurts that someone has put upon you in your life, it's hard to forgive sometimes, but the Bible says for us, again, if we have a Christ-like love to love others, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. You realize that God is willing to forgive all. See, I don't know about you and me, but there's things where you do wrong to me, I'm going to have a hard time forgiving that. I'm going to have a hard time not holding that against you, but that's not a Christ-like love. That's a selfish love. To say, I only love you this much, or if you go that far. Love is forgiving. Love is forgiving. As Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You say, God, please forgive me. but I'm not going to forgive others. Well, that's not a Christ-like love. See, a Christ-like love is forgiving others. Love is forgiving. Number two, love is caring for the needs of others. Again, I don't know about you, but I'm good at taking care of me. I know what I like to eat, and I'm hungry right now. I know some preachers, they don't like to eat before they preach. I have a hard time not eating before I preach because all I'm thinking is about being hungry. And I'm good at taking care of me. What do I want? What do I like? Where do I want to go? But love is giving. Love is putting someone else before yourself. That's what marriage is. That's what being a parent is. That is what caring about others is about, putting someone else's needs before your own. Again, the society we have today, it's all about me, and you all come second. Only if you give me what I want will I love you. And when you don't, you're out of here. Isn't that the world's kind of a love? If you don't give me what I want, you're out of here. Instead of, what do you want? How can I give to you? How can I sacrifice for you? God's love is caring for the needs of others. Love is doing right and following God's word. Today's society has this so backwards. They say, you know, love is acceptance, right? Love is acceptance. If you accept me for the way that I am, that is true love. Remember the principles in the Word of God. We're supposed to love who first? God. To love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And when you love God, you love His Word. You love His commandments. That's why that lesson came first. And when I love God first, I love people, but if they do wrong, I cannot love the sin that they do. Amen? I cannot accept the sin they do. You say, they may say, well, it's just a different lifestyle. God does not love that sin. God hates that sin. You hear that? God hates that sin. God doesn't hate the person, but He hates the sin. And people today want to say, well, if you love me, you love everything about me, all of my sin, and you love me just the way that I am. That's not true love. All right? That's not true love. Now, again, there's no one perfect. So before you say, well, unless if you're perfect, I can't love you. Well, turn that one right around on yourself, because I don't know anyone that is perfect. But God's love is holy. God's love is perfect. And when you love others, you love them by doing right and by loving God's word. So how do you love your spouse better? By loving God. Right? How do you love your children better? By loving His word. How do you love people? By loving God, you'll love others the right way. By loving what is right and what is holy and loving God's word. Loving others is telling people about Jesus Christ. Loving others is telling people about Jesus Christ. I don't understand saying that you love someone, but not caring about their soul. I don't understand saying that you love your family, but you'd never take the time to open up the Word of God and to witness to them and pray for their soul and tell them about Jesus Christ. How can you say you love someone and not tell them about the Savior? I don't understand it. I understand our flesh. My flesh does not want to tell people about Jesus Christ. My flesh does not want to witness to family, neighbors, co-workers, whoever it may be. But when you realize the love that God has for you and the commandment that you love your neighbor as yourself. Now look at this here. I'm not sure if you're saved or not. If you're not saved, today's the day of salvation. But if you know that you're a Christian today, God loved you enough and you realize that God loved you, accepted Him as your Savior, right? How could we not take that love, that gift of eternal life, and turn around and share that with somebody else? We have so many Christians today that are disobedient Christians that won't tell someone about the Savior. You say, but it's not my personality. Guess what? The commandments are not about personality, right? My personality is not to be up here today. My personality is to be in the very back of the room, not saying a thing at all. But God's commandments are for all, to preach the gospel to every creature. Amen? To every creature. Guess what? That's not just for preachers. That's not just for teachers and bus workers and all. That commandment is for every Christian, to preach the gospel to every creature. That's that person that you work with, that you'd share the gospel with them. That's that neighbor that you live by, to share the gospel with them. That's the people that live in Redding, California, that you'd share the gospel with them. The person that by chance God put you along their way. Just as sad as it would be, I remember I was taking driver's training, and I was 15 years old at the time, and we went in and had a driver's training class. I don't think they do driver's training class. It's all online now. We went in to do the class, and they used to have you watch this show, which many of you watch, probably called Red Asphalt. And we'd sit there and we watched the show, and the instructor, as we went to watch the show, he went out of the room. He didn't want to watch it. And it was all the gory, disgusting scenes of people that had been drinking and driving too fast, getting accidents, and just blood and guts across the ground is what it was. And they're trying to scare you, young people, into being careful when you drive. I remember watching that and just, you know, I'm kind of doing this thing, you know, trying to be cool and pretend like it doesn't bother me, but it was kind of hard. I remember that day driving home, and I had my permit, and I'm driving the car. My mom's in the passenger seat, and we were going along a windy road, Bass Lake Road, and there was a car flipped over on the side of the road. I had just come from driver's training, and they show the guts spilled on the ground, horrible sight, and there's no one around, just a car tipped on the side of the road in the ravine right there, and I went, oh no, it's here. And we stopped, and the guys said we're driving and somehow flipped the car. They were fine. I thought, oh Lord, thank you for helping me with that one. How sad would it be to drive by and say, well, hope somebody helps you. I'll pray for you. Maybe someone else will come your way. That'd be pretty low down, wouldn't it, to just keep going and saying, I'm sure someone else will take care of you. Maybe you'll live for the next person to pass your way. But how about with the gospel? That God came to save you. God came to save your soul, your life, picked you up out of that horrible pit. He saved your soul. You're on your way to heaven. But then you pass by others and think, well, I hope someone else tells you about Jesus Christ. I hope someone else comes and knocks on your door. I hope someone else loves you enough to tell you about the Savior. Guess what? That somebody is you. That someone is you, that you love them enough to tell them about Jesus Christ, the Savior. How could we pass by people all around us? The Bible says, and if some have compassion, making a difference. Have compassion, making a difference. Caring enough about others. We have this soul-winning training time coming up this week, and the theme of it is one by one. One by one. One person telling one person about Jesus Christ. One person getting a gospel tract, getting the plan of salvation and saying, can I show you what the Bible says? How you can go to heaven. You say, I don't have all the training, all the tools. If you're saved, you have all the training and the tools that you need. Amen? Amen? There are helps that we can work on with that, but you have everything that you need. If you know that you're saved, you tell them exactly what you did. How God saved you is the same way that God saves anybody else. You come to Him by faith. Do you love others the way that you should? Many times we love others the way that we want to love them. We love others the way that they return their love for us. But do we truly love the way that God wants us to love? The way that God commands us to love your neighbor as yourself. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please, this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us through your word, that we would love